Cotton Cat back at Stock Talk at the 36 Ips Annual Conference. We're joined with a couple of guys from FSS, Kurt and Jeff. We're just talking about the weather. So, you know, one of the challenges has been everybody getting out here. Jeff, you had problems.
A little bit, yeah. The Cincinnati area, I think the two-day snow total was the seventh highest on record.
So
Really?
Yeah, we got a foot of snow. I've, you know, born and raised on a farm and grew up out in the country, and so I spent the better part of Sunday digging out
so we can
even get to the airport to get out here. So I was delayed a day, and but luckily Kurt was able to come out and get us set up, and we're enjoying the weather here because it is cold.
It's a lot nicer. I'm looking out there, blue sky, sunshine, 65 degrees, I think, on its way to like 72 for everybody that is back home not being able to see that. I can tell you, I had originally planned on getting back out. I bought a longer ticket because of the conference, so I was going to, you know, go on Saturday, and I said, we'll leave tomorrow. No, in Fayetteville, Arkansas, which is, you know, further south, so we have less ability to deal with snow. Over the next 2 days, they're predicting 13 inches.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And
What's the record? Do you know off the top of your head what the record is?
No, but I think we've been there for it. I think we got like 18 at one time.
My gosh.
A few years ago, we went to Colorado, and we ran in front of the snowstorm, and we got home, and boom, all that snow. And the bad thing about it is, in Washington County, Arkansas, where Fayetteville is, we own exactly two snowplows. Two.
Yeah, we have zero infrastructure for snow.
They're going to be busy.
No, what they'll do is they'll say, okay, everybody stay home. Hope you got enough bread and milk.
Yeah.
You know,
let it melt.
So, sooner or later, get back. I've talked to my wife, said, how's it going? I'll call you back. I haven't heard from her. I'm a little bit concerned. but anyway. Guys, thank you for being here at the IPSA Annual Conference and for sponsoring IPSA. Mm-hmm. It really means it means a lot to us because, you know, y'all have enabled us to put on a really great conference, and there's been a lot of positive feedback from that. But talk to us a little bit about fumigation supply and what y'all do and what you want the independents to know about where y'all are going.
Yeah.
So our company does a lot in the seed industry for, you know, large corporations and independents alike. And I think what I would like the audience to be able to get out of this is we've really – nobody wants to think about pest control until it's a problem.
Yeah,
and right. we've spent a lot of time in the food industry. So we're aware of, you know, of the various different ways of monitoring for pests and dealing with pest problems. And we've really tried to elevate the program in the seed industry. A lot of these guys, these are, you know, they're smaller operations. They own them. These are the people that are mm-hmm. putting their name on the bag, you mm-hmm. know. And so for us, we want to come in and help protect that brand. You know, a farmer, I can tell you, I'm a farmer's son. Kurt is a farmer's son. There's no more pride that prideful type people than farmers and loyal people than farmers. And when you got a good product, you got a good seed product, and they get up in the morning on their way to have coffee with the rest of the farmers and at the round table there where they solve all the world's problems.
That's an iconic thing. It happened. Yeah. It's been happening forever.
I love it. I used to go with my dad, and I loved it. You know, I thought these guys know how to fix stuff.
They know what's going
on.
Yeah. But you know, when they're on the way in and they look down the row and they see the corn, you know, coming up and it's a good stand, and that's what these guys thrive on. And we want to help protect that because if you ship something out to a farmer, it's got to – you know, it's got mice problems, and it's been chewed into, and the seed spills all over. It's got, you know, moths flying around it. Nobody wants to be associated with their brand. So we monitor and help protect, you know, against that event. So we're protecting brands, not just the commodity against pest damage, but we're protecting the owner's brand. So
I have to say, I can't imagine much worse than a farmer buying a few bags of seed and having problems with them, and they look bad.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
Well, no. I'll guarantee you everybody at that round table discussion is going to hear about it, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, and these guys, you know, they're neighbors. They respect and love each other, and they're not going to tolerate poor quality, you know, especially at the cost of the seed and the inputs today for farmers. It's a big deal. So we really try to help bring quality products to the consumers. So
I think the thing that sets us apart from other businesses in our industry is that, you know, one is we've really decided to specialize on stored product pests, you know, things that attack grain and cereals and things like that. So we really focused as a company for the over 40 years on that. And so we believe we are better at it than most other people, if not everybody. And I think as our organization, you know, especially the all of the leaders in it in particular, is we, you know, the same passion that a farmer has for what he does. You know, there's a reason why, you know, they don't retire when they're 63 or 65. Yeah. You know, my dad, he farmed right up until he basically passed away. He couldn't work anymore. And he just, you know, he gradually turned it over to my brother. And, you know, and he still farms corn and beans. And, you know, he just, we take that same passion for what we do, you know, and we take great pride in the work that we do. And, you know, our, like Jeff said, our goal is just to protect your brand. If you have a product that you want to bring to the consumer, whether it's a farmer or if it's a box of cereal, you know, in your cupboard,
yeah,
we're there to protect it. We want to make sure that we're part of protecting that food supply.
Yeah.
It's very rewarding, you know, to be able to work with people and give them your 100% at what you do and give them the best work that you can.
It sounds like y'all are really positioning yourselves as partners. They're not your customers, they're your partners.
You have to have a good partnership. So,
yeah.
And I liken it to, I'm not really want to compare ourselves to doctors, but if you're sick or you got something going on, you know, my head hurts and the doctor's trying to figure out what's going on. You're just like, well, I every morning I get up and I bang my head into the wall and the doctor's going to tell you, stop doing that. That's not a good idea. Yeah. That's probably why your head hurts.
Yeah.
You know? So, but if you do listen and you do what they tell you, the results, you can expect to get results. And I think that's part of a partnership that we expect, because you can hire us and we can come in and we can tell you, you need to do some exclusion work in your building, or you need to educate people on inbound loads and what to look for and those kinds of things. But if you don't put those into practice, then you can't expect to get good results.
Right.
So it's really, I mean, really and truly, beyond just, you know, the actual service and what you do from that standpoint, you really look at it as part of a brand quality protection method.
100%.
I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
100%.
Nice.
Because really and truly, I grew up on a farm too, but I grew up on a dairy farm, so quite a bit different. We did grow some corn. But I remember nothing hacked off my father more than getting a load of feed and having chewed up bags, dirty bags, look like they had been brought back in. And, you know, he wanted the clean new stuff, you know. And I think – and that's translated to me too. I mean, you know, we all take what we get sometimes. But I think that being able to protect and really make sure – farmers understand, okay, this is a quality product, and that's an important part of brand protection. I mean, it's an important part as anything you do in marketing.
Yeah, there – so – what's really interesting with the onset of things like this, you know, podcasts, TikTok, Instagram, all of those social media outlets, the speed at which one pest issue, when it gets to a consumer, can escalate and cause major brand problems for a company is, it's hard to measure. The average cost of a food level recall is like $10 million.
Oof.
Yeah, so it's
that's not chump change.
No, that can get you a lot of pest control and a good a good program.
Yeah,
preventatively, but it's something you don't think about much until it's like I say, until it's too late.
Yeah,
so a lot of times
you need to pause.
Yeah, so $10 million on product recall as a problem. I mean, that's a big problem.
Yeah,
that's a huge
one. Absolutely. And we talked about, you know, that number can buy you a lot of pest control. And typically, we see it quite often. It's big companies. They have to manage costs. And, you know, they're looking, usually looking at it from a procurement perspective. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a line item cost. And, of course, but you got to get somebody who has quality in mind engaged in it. Usually in like the food industry, it's sanitation. In the seed industry, it's typically the plant manager, warehouse manager, somebody like that. And that's the decision maker usually. So you want to get someone like that involved. And really we take at it, we start with an assessment, like a site assessment, you know. Are the facilities currently infested? Are they prone to infestation? We look at the layout of the land. A lot of these are, you know, they're rurally located. They're next to a field that's going to get tilled, and a lot of times rodents are, you know, they move around. And the seed industry also, I've seen it in my career, has gone from a very seasonal operation to 24/7. I mean, they don't like to shut down for fumigation.
Not at all.
For any reason. So just the speed at which things happen nowadays in the industry and how much movement there is from, you know, the production site to the distribution site to the farmer, and then the returns that come back. Every place has kind of an opportunity for a hitchhiker to, and yeah. By that I mean an Indian meal moth lays some eggs on this seam of the bag or whatever, and then you bring that brand.
You
said
it.
Yeah, you got it. You got a big problem. So mice in the center of a pallet, for example, you don't see that, and it's hard to detect and pull them out. They've got everything they need right there. So those things get moved around, and it's difficult to control it. So that that provides a lot of opportunity for us to do fumigations. And most of our fumigations are for rodent issues nowadays. And we've seen rodents actually on the rise here over the last year. We just did some analysis, and I think our rodent catches were up 23% year
wow.
over year.
Wow.
Which is it's an odd thing, and maybe it's weather pattern related. But it's real.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
So just so I can get a visualization of this, you go in, got to deal with the warehouses, got a pest problem. You just seal it up and fumigate it that way, kind of in a traditional sense. But
that's a very simple explanation of it, yeah.
Okay. Tell me more. So, I mean, or do you put up a big tent over it?
Yeah,
you know?
No, we don't tent. Most everything is tape and sealed.
Okay.
So, you know, things like your dock plates, we tape around those either on the outside or it just kind of depends on the setup. If we suspect some activity down in there, we might seal them on the outside. All the doors are sealed. Of course, we secure the facility. We talk to the first responders. Everything's locked up tight. We use pretty sensitive equipment to monitor the fumigant. So we need certain levels for a certain amount of time. To ensure that we're getting good control. And so we do all of those things, and then we also, at the tail end of it, we have to air it out and make it safe for,
right.
You know, you and I, just because we're, you know, licensed fumigators, we're no more immune to the fumigant yeah. than anybody else, right? So it's we have to be safe for our own people, and then, you know, we want to make sure that anybody coming back into that facility feels safe as well.
Yeah, yeah,
because
so.
Folks coming back into it don't want to be wearing hazmat suits.
No, they you know, but they don't know what's going on. They know you fumigated,
right?
And they their trust, and that's we build that relationship with the
yeah.
customer.
But by the time y'all are walking out, everything's fine.
Everything's
normal.
Fine.
It's like
yeah.
it's like back to yeah. normal. How long does that process normally take? Are we talking about a 24-hour process? Or is it longer?
Yeah, so it can take 2 to 3 days. It
okay.
depends on the facility.
Size of facility and everything. And
yeah,
I guess how intricate it is to tape it up and everything.
Yeah, so the preparation side of it is what is most of our labor.
Sure.
It takes a long time to prep a complex production facility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just because there's so much, there's the tower usually you got to deal with and equipment doors and big exhaust fans and
sure.
filters and, you know, dust filters and all that stuff. So, but the warehouses are usually pretty straightforward. Distribution facilities are pretty straightforward on the preparation side. But then, there's usually a 24-hour exposure period. That can be extended 36 to 48 hours, but usually production time is way more valuable. So they want to get back in and start producing product. So that exposure time is typically 24 hours. And then the aeration side of it, it can take a while. The boxes, the fumigant penetrates into the boxes, into the bags, and controls the pests that way. So
it
you got to get
time to come back.
You
got
to get the gas sure. out. You know.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You can't if a facility's, I don't know, 50% full of bagged corn or something, and you can aerate the headspace down really quick, but everything's still in those bags. If you close it back up, it might come back a little bit.
Right.
So you got to be real careful and aerate for an extended period of time to make sure once we close everything up, lock it back up, and turn it back over, that it's going to be safe. So, and safety, as you can tell, in fumigation, there's obviously some risk, a lot of risk.
Right.
Yeah. So we're mitigating all that for the customer. There's some DIYers out there. We sell fumigant to people who do some of this themselves. It's risky, but still, DIY kind of mindset people are who fumigators are typically anyway. And, it's we take a very safe approach to it. Our documentation, our, you know, all the communication going up into the weekend or whatever. We make sure everybody knows what's going on, and we certainly make sure everybody's safe.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. The bottom line is we're filling a building full of poison gas.
Yeah.
And so anything that's in there is, you know, at risk of dying.
Yeah.
So, in other words, keep your dogs and cats out of the warehouse.
Absolutely.
Plants.
Chase the birds.
Plants.
Plants, too.
Yeah, plants.
Okay,
yeah.
So part of this is really to, you know, we'll take out just biological material is what you're telling me.
Yeah, anything really kind of...
That breathes.
Breathing, I guess.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, that's the main way of that a fumigant works is through inhalation. So,
right.
And everything breathes. You know, even seed, you know.
Oh, it does.
Respires, yeah. You know, just very slowly.
Yeah.
You know? And so if we're fumigating for rodents, you know, they're breathing like we do, anything warm-blooded, you know, so we're breathing relatively quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't take a lot of gas, and it doesn't take very long to kill that type of pest.
Right.
But when you're dealing with insects, even adult insects respire relatively quickly, but those egg stages or the
they're the ones,
stages.
Right.
You know, they're very slowly. And some eggs are different than others. Some are more porous, so the gas will actually penetrate and kill those eggs easier. Some are very, very tight, and they've got little openings that will every so often just take air in.
Yeah.
And so your gas levels have to be strong enough
to take all
those
that out.
Points to take that.
Okay, I feel like I've learned so much.
There's been a lot.
Yeah.
There's been a lot. So several years ago, and I mean 20 years
ago. You don't have to say how long it's been.
It's been a long time. used to do some work in Hawaii with cottonseed, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. And we had some work that we were doing on developing a new cottonseed program. And, you know, we would literally hand acid to lint seed there. And we had to argue a lot with I forget exactly what the agency was, but it was the plant agency to ship that seed back into the continental United States, which was quite a puzzle for us. But at that time, and I don't think this is the same process, they actually wanted us to take the seed through a process to ensure that there were no pests from Hawaii coming back in. But we were concerned about the seed viability after it coming out of that process.
Sure.
So... different process than what we're discussing here, obviously, because you wouldn't be going into seed warehouses with that type of thing. But what is that we were doing back then?
There are certain, so we do a lot in export as well, and a variety of commodities, a lot of DDGs that come off the ethanol plants going overseas for animal feed. We do a lot of logs that get exported for hardwood flooring and veneer and things like that that goes to China. We do a little bit of parent seed fumigation, which is probably what you're referring to.
Right, it's parent seed fumigation.
Yeah, yeah. So we stuff going to Argentina or wherever, we may just do a pallet of it. It's very valuable, obviously.
Right.
But that is assuring that non-invasive pests that are not really indigenous to Argentina or vice versa as things are coming here, that's how we've ended up with brown marmorated stink bug, emerald ash borer, and all these things that do, you know, so much damage to our environment. It's they've gotten through because, you know, just as much as these boxes ship around the Midwest, these containers ship globally, you know, all over. Right. They're always moving.
Well, and that makes okay. So that's the explanation that I needed because I'll tell you the you know, if you travel to Hawaii, and I have had a chance to a few times, you know, you're walking through the airport and there's these big displays. This is not allowed. You can't do this. And there's all these things that they've captured along the way. And it's like, you know, kind of crazy. But they're very protective of that ecosystem.
Sure. It's if you look at the emerald ash borer and the billions of dollars of trees that that just destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I don't know. I'm not a... That's not my focus, but the just the irreversible damage that it's done to our forests.
And honestly, we, you know, I know that one very well. We had a beautiful ash tree planted at our house when we lived in Memphis and had planted it ourselves and were there for 22 years and 18 years, and it was gorgeous. It got bore, and we had to take it out.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, there's nothing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
Okay.
Okay. Sure.
Well, that's a strong word.
But, you know, our USDA does a good job. They set all the guidelines, and we provide them with the information, the fumigant we use, the dosage, the temperature, the time, all that kind of stuff. And then they'll provide what's called a phytosanitary certification.
Right. Yeah.
So, and then that goes along with the shipment. So the importing country can say, okay, this was treated in accordance with our requirements, and we're going to allow it in.
Yeah. So we understand the quality and the safety factor.
Yeah,
we're good.
Yeah. So we're working with partners there that ship a lot of stuff internationally. So, you know, they need their products to get out so they can get paid. And so we just ensure that that process is smooth.
Yeah.
Really silly question. So at the end of the day, does this affect like grain trade as well? Do y'all do work in the grain trade or is it more seed oriented?
Yeah, no, we do a fair bit in the grain industry as well. A lot in the just wheat supporting flour millers,
sure.
In that way, and some corn, but not as much. It's a little more hardy, and it moves faster. So markets will kind of dictate how long a grain facility might hold wheat. If they're projecting it goes up, they may sit on it for, you know, 2 or 3 years. And grain quality never improves once you take it out of the field and put it in a grain bin.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's going to degrade in some way or another.
Right.
Just the environmental factors alone. So once it is infested, or if it's allowed to get infested because you're not conditioning it properly and you're not fumigating regularly, and by regularly, I mean maybe once or twice a year just to make sure that, you know, we're not infesting. I kind of forgot where I was going with this. Sorry,
we'll have to edit that
we'll
out. Edit that out.
It happens.
That's all right.
Yeah. And we have... We have about 30 seconds left.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, last final words.
Yeah. So we can wrap that up. But yeah, the grain industry and the trade there, when they move that, a lot of that gets shipped out of the country too. There's a lot of fumigation in the Gulf and the different ports, mm-hmm. the Pacific Northwest and all these wheat regions that export. Mm-hmm. U.S. commodities is the best in the world, no doubt. And everybody wants it.
Yeah. There you
and,
go.
And so we try to help make sure that it's... you know, again, quality product that goes out.
Yeah.
So,
right.
If our listeners don't know what y'all do by now,
if they don't know, listening. They're not going to know. They're not paying
attention.
This is
very educational.
It's hard to capture in 20 minutes. And, you know, we don't try to glamorize pest control. Look, it's not the most glamorous industry, but it's
a necessary part of what we do in order to have quality product.
And protecting our food supply.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's a necessary step. So it's good to know about it.
Yeah, great.
And we like to look at it from that perspective because it helps us, you know, it helps us recognize how important it is. And then we put the emphasis on it accordingly. You know, if it's just pest control, air quotes, then it's probably not the best fit for us because we don't really look at it that way. You know, we want to be a partner in protecting your brand and protecting the consumers. Also, they're you know,
great.
We depend on them.
That's a great closing word.
Yeah.
FSS, your partner in protecting your brand and the consumer.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. We appreciate
Jeff and Kurt,
thank you
for y'all
us.
Very much.
It's been great.
All right. It.
And thanks for being here with us at IPSA this
week. Absolutely. We'll see you in Indianapolis.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Thank you.